First John. And chapter 4. I just want to read the first three verses. I did lay a paper up here on the front, some more church signs. Sandy brought it. It was come out of the Reader's Digest. Mm-hmm. There's some good ones on there. More of the billboards from God. Let's meet here before the big game. Anyway, so it's everywhere. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard now that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The first word in this chapter is the word beloved. And that's who this chapter is addressed to. That's who this book is addressed to, and that's who the whole Bible is addressed to. It's a frustrating thing when you finally do realize this, because I remember when it kind of hit me that people don't know what you're talking about when you talk about Christ. Because see, in the circles of people I associate with at times, now it's different, but before, most of the people I was around were not very religious. And if you bring up the subject of Christ, or if you think of something and you relate it out loud, they look at you like you're crazy. And in their mind, you are crazy. I got into an argument once with a rabbi. I believe the Old Testament more than he did. Those are just stories. You know, he was not reformed. He was a reform rabbi. You couldn't put the ED on the end because he got mad. I don't know what the difference is. I really don't. I never bothered to find out, to be honest, because after I talked to him, you know, these are just stories. And I said, well, if you read the Old Testament and see, you know, well, he told me these were just stories. And see, God put them there for examples so we would know how to live. And we've got to do this basically on our own. And I looked at him and I said, well, it's a bunch of stories about God sticking his nose in our business then. Because that's what it is. Only it's his business, not ours. But that's the way he wanted to look at it. And he was the rabbi of the Jewish temple in Bluefield. And what do you say? The conversation was pretty much over. We had dinner after that, you know, and talked about football or something. I don't know. But this chapter starts out, beloved. And it's a great word. I like it. I actually looked it up in the Greek, in the Strong's, and it says the word is agapetos. And it comes from the word agapeho. And I remember Earl talking about this. This is from the same word that the Lord uses when he's talking to Peter and he says, lovest thou me? And he uses one word, he uses agapeo. And Peter uses philios. And he asked him twice, you know, agapeho, do you love me? And he said, Philios. And then the third time he did ask him, Philios. But this word here is agape. This is agape. Because we are beloved of Christ and beloved of God. Big love. Not friendship, not like, loved by God. And man, that's a good feeling. Believers are the beloved of Christ. And if you read the last verse above it, this chapter, it says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We are beloved of Christ because he is in us. That's how we know. The Spirit is in us, which he has given us. And John includes himself in this. Us. Now, what does John here say about those who are beloved of Christ? Believe not every spirit. Amen. This is important, and it's important enough that John wants every one of the beloved to know it. Do not believe every spirit. And in this case, it seems from the definition that it means person or messenger and their message. The definition from Strong's is the disposition, this is of the word spirit, the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. What that means is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It'll come out. It may take a while, but it will leak out on you. And if you are a believer, sometimes what happens is people quit talking to you about certain subjects. Maybe totally. And really, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I remember someone's comment a few weeks ago, Reid, wasn't he, about being a hermit? Sometimes I am. And there's a reason why. It's not so much sometimes I've removed myself from anyone, as a bunch of people have removed themselves from me. And to be honest, most of them I don't miss.
Right.
I really don't.
Right.
Because our interests are different. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. John tells us not to believe everything you hear. My dad told me that growing up. The old saying, what was it? Don't take any wooden nickels. Because people will give you just about anything. Why? Because people lie. People lie. And they leave this out of a lot of religious institutions. Man as a species lies. They'll talk about, oh, the tongue is wicked and you can't control it. No, people lie.
Yeah.
Okay? People will lie to you. I've known people, and I'm sure you people have also, but I mean, actually there's a couple guys in particular, they would walk 5 miles barefoot through the snow to tell a lie rather than tell you the truth. And I don't understand it, but that's the way they are. Okay, it's more than, I mean, I knew guys in the Army that like to tell tall stories. Okay, that's because everybody knows they're telling tall stories. This guy used to tell you a bald-faced lie. I was there when some of this stuff happened. I know it didn't happen. And he's telling somebody else about it. I'm standing right there. And he starts telling what this happened and that happened. And I look at him and said, where was this? You were there. I was there. People lie. And some of them seem to enjoy it. But here, John is talking about religious people. People lie about God. People lie about Christ, and people lie about the Holy Spirit. And some of these people are called preachers, some are called priests, some are called rabbis, or what's it, mullahs, the Muslims. And I'm telling you this because I'm one of those people that's been lied to. I've been lied to from pulpits. I've been lied to from radios. I've been lied to from the television. And I've been lied to my face. When I started out in my conversion, I was ignorant. I still remember when Earl would talk, when we first met him. And he had a statement he made that he said, you know, I am not a novice at this. And I do remember I did a Sunday school lesson. We hadn't been up there very long because you were gone or something. I did a Sunday school lesson. And I stood up there and I said, I am a novice. That was 25 years ago. I was a novice. Just in case you wanted to know what one looked like, I did at that time. I don't think I am so much anymore. Some days I feel it, but, you know. But I didn't know very much of anything about God, about Christ, the Holy Spirit, or the Scriptures. I started reading, but I didn't know a whole lot, because there's a lot to absorb. And then plus two, you're told a lot of things. But I'd talk to people, and people would tell me things, and really, you know, be honest, I actually, you know, kind of believe most of them. Because I was ignorant. And I was trusting. And I felt, because at this time I believed I was regenerated and started conversion. I believed Christ. I wouldn't lie to anybody. So why would somebody lie to me? And sure, it's naive, but that's what I was at the time. But then as I read more and I learned more and I got to John chapter 6 and I read that about no man comes to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And then I go over to verse 65, it says it again. And then you get to John 10, it says you believe not because you're not of my sheep. And I keep seeing this over and over. Once I accepted it, that okay, I'm not going anywhere because Christ is the truth, it's everywhere. Then I started hearing things people were saying to me from pulpits because I was going to an Arminian church, basically, other than Don Farmer Sr.'s. And I'd been to several. And I thought, seriously, I thought, you know, preachers say stupid things every now and then. That was my excuse in my head. Because I knew I wasn't perfect. Okay, I didn't have a whole grasp on everything. Wasn't even close. And I thought, well, you know, hey, I misspeak. They can misspeak. So I give them the benefit of a doubt. I really did. But I found out more and more, and I talked to other people. And some told me things that agreed with that scriptures, and some didn't. And I went to churches where free will was preached. Now they believed in eternal security, or once saved, always saved. But they did preach basically you come of your own free will. And that didn't jibe with John chapter 6. Anywhere. And I did not believe the free will part. I told Walter when we met, and he reminded me of this the other day, because I didn't know a whole lot at the time. all I told him is, all I know is that if God does for you what he had done for me, you'd come to him. I might even said you'd get saved, which is true. But I try not to use that expression nowadays. And I still believe that.
Yeah.
Because I believe God gave me life.
Amen.
I believe Christ sent me the Holy Spirit, and I began to understand the truth. And when you understand the truth, you'll understand Christ, and you will come to him. He will call you by name, and you will follow him. But see, here I am surrounded by people who make decisions in churches. Now, making a decision or praying a prayer never saved anyone.
Right. That's right.
And I came to find that out. Now, I've also found out if Christ gives you life, you will make decisions and you will pray many prayers. But that's where you get into the thing of cause and effect. And Arminians have the habit of putting the cart before the horse. They deal with the effect but don't care about the cause, because, see, that's in everybody. You've got the little spark of faith. It's another lie. I came to find out I had been told lies sincerely by people who actually believed it. And they actually did believe what they told me, and they had faith in their decision. They had faith in their experience, but they didn't seem to know anything about Christ. I came to find out I'd been told lies deceitfully. Somebody who explained to us Calvin was a four-pointer, we didn't even know what a point was. But he did, and he wasn't preaching them. He wasn't even preaching those four. Much less the fifth one that everybody's going to leave out. He was being deceitful.
Yes, he was.
And we didn't know that at the time. Because we didn't know what a point was, you know? And there are people I've met that have told me lies that I have no idea how they think. I swear to God. I mean, literally, I have a term I use in my head. I don't know that I've ever said it out loud. Spiritually crazy people. Okay? I'm serious. They are way out there. Y'all heard the news as much as me, where them fellas were drinking bad Kool-Aid waiting for the comet to come out. It was a Jell-O or something. And they died in their black t-shirts and their white tennis shoes. Because they was going to board a rocket ship behind Halley's Comet. And I've read the story of L. Ron Hubbard's Scientology. And it's a bad science fiction story. I mean, a bad one. It's not even a good one. People lie about God.
Yeah.
Believe not every spirit, John wrote. That's the negative part. But there is a positive, active part after this.
Right.
Try the spirits.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I don't know how many times I've been told you are not to judge people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Well, I've already been judged.
Right.
I've been found righteous. I'm not guilty. I've been found righteous in Christ, not in myself. But here I'm told to try the spirits. And you're told to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now the world, they're not told that because they're not the beloved.
Right.
And because they can't do it. But at least, if you want to argue with people, say, okay, don't judge people. But judge their message.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
because these are people talking to you. He calls them false prophets here. The Greek word is pseudo-prophets. I put that right up there where it should be. Fake prophets. Believers are to try the spirit. And I looked at this word too. It says to prove, to try, to approve, to discern, to allow, to like, see what's like, and examine. That's how that's word translated. Same word's translated a different way in Strong's, in the Bible. That same word. Believers are to be discerning. And I like that. Believers are to examine. They are to prove the messages they hear. Now, the way John writes this, this is not a suggestion. This is not a question. This is actually a command.
Right. Amen.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do. Basically, you just kind of have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And like I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It will come out.
Right.
But you do have to pay attention. Put the message on trial.
Yeah.
Now, don't worry about the messenger at this time, okay? Worry about the message, because that's what you're hearing. What are they talking about? Who are they talking about?
Yeah.
Is what they're saying true, according to the scriptures? I don't ask anyone to believe anything I say just because I say it, unless it's my dog, okay? Him, I don't take no argument from, although he will argue anyway, but feel free to look in this book. Now, this is the only book I'll accept as proof. I'm not necessarily, I do like some things that people have written about it, but this is where the proof is.
Yeah.
This is where the discernment comes from. If it's in here, that's it. And it doesn't matter what I say.
Yeah.
Because how we are to know if someone is telling the truth if you don't know the truth?
Yeah.
That's why this was addressed to the beloved.
Right.
No one else knows. Hereby ye know, excuse me, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How are we to know somebody's telling the truth? It's like John could read your mind. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses not, wait a minute, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, Walter, you remember this. This is not an incantation.
No.
Okay? This is not a lucky charm. It's not a superstition, like throwing rice over the back, or salt over the back of your shoulder. Okay? We've heard it used like one. We were listening to a guy on the radio, and he told this about himself. And that's one of them people bordering on spiritually crazy. Somebody come up to him, and I don't remember if it was at a meeting while he was actually preaching or not, but it come up that somebody got in his face and said, do you believe Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Do you believe Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Do you believe Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Three times, four times. And the fellow told on himself. He said, get away from me, you idiot. Now, I can understand that feeling, okay? I really can. But Walter and I looked at ourselves and he said, why didn't you just say yes? Now get away from me. You know? Just go. Why don't you do that? But he didn't. He just told the guy to get away and he was an idiot. Of course, granted, the guy probably was an idiot. That's not what this scripture means. Okay? This is not, you know, this is not, you can't say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh unless you really believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And I actually, you know, I don't know what that guy was thinking, I swear. Because I know he was spiritually crazy, if you're all the truth. But anyhow, what this means is that we are to try the spirits to see if they speak of the only begotten Son of God as God manifest in the flesh. That's what it's talking about. Is the message about the Word of God, who was God, was with God, and now has come? Is the story about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Is the message about Jesus Christ, who made everything that was made? Is the message about Jesus Christ, his work, his power, and his glory? Is the message about Jesus Christ saving his people from their sins by one offering offered once? Is the message about Jesus Christ being wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and being he is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, yeah, and sanctification and redemption? This is every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, is the message about the Christ of God. The Christ of the Bible, not the Christ of their imagination, not the Christ of the Pentecostal church or the Baptist church or any other church. If the answer is yes, that's what you're hearing, the message is true and the message is of God. And he goes on. If the answer is no, then it's not. It is that simple. A message is not of God that gives man a role in salvation or power in salvation. A message is not of God if it teaches that Jesus Christ made salvation possible.
Right.
I've heard that. A message is not of God if it teaches that Jesus Christ was just a man imbued by the Holy Spirit. Or actually, in that case, it was the Holy Ghost. And the poor devil was scared of him. How much more was he scared the day of Pentecost when everybody had the Holy Ghost? That's why you shouldn't listen to TV. Yeah, because that's bordering on spiritual idiocy. Walter uses that term. A message is not of God that teaches that Jesus Christ is hoping men will let him have his way.
Right.
That is Antichrist.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the message of Antichrist. And John calls people who preach these lies false prophets, because they are false prophets who profess falsehoods. they lie. Knowingly or unknowingly, doesn't matter if it's a lie. It does matter maybe a little bit in how I treat people. If I know they're just being deceitful or if I think they're sincere, I try to be nicer to sincere people. It doesn't always work, okay, but I try. Sometimes people can be sincerely annoying. And I got enough trouble as it is. How are we supposed to know these things? How are we to know which is true? John 16, verse 13 through 14, Walter read it, I think, or quoted it last week. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, now if he's in you, it's going to be what you hear. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Christ. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. If that's not happening, if that hasn't happened to you, that's one of them things where you make you call in an election sure. Because if you're a believer, if you're one of the beloved, you're going to know it in your heart. It's going to be inside. And I remember when I first started learning some of this stuff, it was one of the strangest things that ever I remember happening, to where somebody would say something, or even somebody would quote a scripture, because he quoted a lot of scripture, and then he denied a lot of it as he went along, but he did quote a lot of scripture, and I enjoyed the scriptures. And something would hit me all of a sudden that that's what that means, or at least a part of it, but that's what that means. And it's like, it's new, but at the same time, it's almost to the effect of, I knew that. His Spirit's going to bear witness with our spirit. He's going to take, receive the things of mine, and he's going to show them unto you. Luke 8 and 10 says, and he said, this was Jesus speaking to the apostles, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, they're not beloved, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now I heard that all twisted. I heard a fellow who was a singer on his, in between his songs or in the middle of one of his songs, he takes a little gap. He said, the music's playing softly in the background on the little cassette tape. And he says, and you know, Jesus spoke in parables so that all might understand. And then he goes on singing his song about one of the parables. And I thought, that's not what he said. He's lying in a song. He was lying in a song. That explains Christian radio. Gospel music, for the most part. Yep. Now, believers do not know everything. And when you're starting out, you don't know much. I'd say that. But I was there. And I remember it. And I'm embarrassed sometimes about the stuff I didn't know. I really am. The only nice thing about my irreligious background is the fact that thankfully, I did not have a whole heck of a lot to unlearn. Because I've heard other preachers, and you can tell, and they're preaching the gospel, but you can kind of tell their background, okay? I mean, you can kind of tell if somebody's come out of the Pentecostal church. I love them, God Almighty, I love them. But you can tell, and I don't have any hard feelings against it because I know what they're fighting against. But thankfully, I didn't have that much to unlearn, but I did have, oh, so much to learn. And the more I read, I still have, oh, so much more to learn. But I do believe that is given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to get there, sometimes you have to try the spirits to see whether or not these things be so. And that's what we want you to do. That's what I want to do. And that's what we're told to do here. And I'll say, so get to work. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again to be here.